Welcome back to Sharp Elbows on Devil Radio 92.7. This is State Rep Hong, and we are joined today by the wonderful Araceli Esparza. Before the break, we were discussing social entrepreneurship, the importance of collaboration and uplifting women of color in the entrepreneurial and small business sphere. As always, if you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a call. The number is 844-967-2789. Again, that number is 844-967-2789. I want to shift us a little bit here. September 15th through October 15th is National Hispanic Heritage Month. It's really a time to recognize and honor contributions of the Hispanic community. And I think it's also a time to build understanding through education and programming. Yeah. Araceli, can you tell us a little bit more about what this means to you, this time means for you and your community, and then about, let's get into some programs and events that are going to be happening in the area to celebrate.
Right, for sure. National Hispanic, well, first, let's talk about how none of us decided it when it was going to be. I mean, what a funky time, right? It's like, and probably people are like, why does it start in the middle of a month? Well, September 15th is actually, and again, because, but not all Hispanics are Mexican. Let's just make that acknowledgement right there, okay? Because that needs to be said almost every time we talk about Hispanics, that not all Hispanics are Mexican, and I'm the first Mexican to tell you that. And not all your friends who have Latino sounding names are Mexican, so don't say that to them. They might get mad at you, because if they're from any other of, like, what, the 30 some other countries that we represent under this one word, they're gonna get peed. Okay, being Hispanic is a lot. And it starts on September 15th because it's Mexican National Independence Day that day. And that's why it goes 30 days in. So let's get that clear. Another thing, another fun fact is that Latinas are only paid 55 cents to every one American white man dollar. And we have, and that figure, okay, but see, Francesca, this is where I get funny about this, because I know Latinas do not represent their money. Like, we won't tell y'all what we have, okay? Because there's no way that we are only making 55 cents to the dollar and still laughing and looking gorgeous and amazing every day. There's just no way. But there is a way. Why? Because we are innovative and we are resilient and we're amazing women. But here's the thing, it's like, it's only grown 3 cents. So if anybody's here listening, 3 cents in the last 3 decades, that's a penny a decade, girl. We have only grown a penny a decade. So back 30 years ago, before I worked, when I was like 10 years old, oops, dating myself, in the 80s, it was 52 cents. And now we've grown to 55 cents. So,
and let's remember that Latinas and Hispanic women are, you know, disproportionately represent a lot of the care work that we know is not only vastly underpaid and vastly undercredited, but also the emotional and the emotional labor and stress that goes into that work. And the fact that if we don't have people doing this work, our literally our economy doesn't work, right? We've seen in this past year with the pandemic how childcare and the service sector and all these people that, you know, we're so often seen or deemed invisible or not given credit for, their work continues, even though other folks were able to work from home or other folks were able to, you know, shift and adjust and God, that P word, pivot. And so I think it's even more of a travesty that we aren't paying these women. And they absolutely, and you absolutely deserve to be paid, actually probably more than most white men. But I hope that conversation continues to ring at the forefront for folks, because it's an abomination, truly.
Considering how we're overrepresented in hospitality and custodial services, and like you just said, we were one of the, we couldn't take a break. That's why most of us, you know, why Hispanic communities were in danger and are continuing to be in danger during the pandemic, is because we are the front facing, you know, service, et cetera, hospitality, food, et cetera, and all of those front-facing industries, we conquered all of those spaces. And so, but to another anomaly or cheer for particularly Dane County is that we had such a great community involvement with amongst ourselves that we went and got more vaccinated than any other county, with Latinos being a majority of it. In fact, more so, we were coming out getting vaccinated than our white counterparts. So I'm like, whoa, okay. So that just shows how much we listen. Like, we listen.
Well, and your community has infrastructure built in that I think went unrecognized, right? Like, the power of how much you care, and it may not look like the infrastructure of other communities, specifically more white communities, but it's like that ability to over communicate and be committed to larger families. I think I want more intergenerational families to become the norm, because I really do think that helps build communication infrastructure within the community that is so needed. And it's like, you're going to get vaccinated, you're going to start change or thinking about changing behavior, at least, and looking at some of your values, if you're talking about it with your close friends and family. And it's, I think, really a beautiful thing about, as an outsider looking in, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but it's something that I've always just admired about just how intergenerational and interconnected your community is, and how powerful it is.
And I think that's what's so similar between Asian communities and Latino communities is that, and African American communities, is that we are very intergenerational. We make space for our elders. Like, our elders are the ones that are grabbing us, telling us to go vote. They're the ones telling us to go and get vaccinated. I ain't gonna be around you unless you get vaccinated. And then it's like, oh, well, I gotta eat, so I better go get vaccinated if I ever want to eat mom's food again. Like, really, if you want to be in your mama's kitchen and she said you to get vaccinated, like, you're going to have to do it. I'm like, sorry, I only get rice from my mom. La rosa es de mi mamá, and this is the only one I eat. Perdón, disculpe, but if I have to go, I have to get vaccinated. And that's, and I think a lot of us were motivated to do that, and especially in our community, and we had such great speakers like Sheba Bedar, like Dr. Tejas Guion, who were instrumental in bringing this wave of vaccinations to the Latino community. And all of us, you know, we took pictures with ourselves with the shot, proving to people, look, you can see me, I'm okay. Like, I had people like calling me, you know, like, what were you, and how was it? Did they put a chip in you? I'm like, no, it's not like that. But see, that's the thing, we're big, great jokers, and like, a lot of us are joking about it, but it's like, but that's the thing. It's like, some people took that joke too serious and it just went somewhere else. But yes, speaking about National Hispanic Heritage Month, a word that is still very hard for me to say, because I grew up definitely in like, in the time period of like Chicanos coming up, and like the word Chicano and the word Latino coming up in a generation, you know, in my generation, that's where it was. So it's really hard sometimes to think that this word is still prevalent when we worked so hard to not make it prevalent in the 90s, to make Latino the word. And so I wish that the government would maybe like catch up with us a little bit. And we've already decided to cut that word up and make Latinx, which has only made, you know, more arguments on social media than not. And so just to say that we're not a diaspora, and then there's Latini. So to incorporate our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. So I wanted to acknowledge their contributions to our cultura también in this month, because oftentimes we do not center our Afro-Latinos, our LGBTQ Latinos in Hispanic Heritage Month. We just, you know, personally look at people like myself who are really eloquent speaking in English, but don't understand why, because that's also trauma right here. My voice is even trauma, because I was told and manufactured to speak this way in order to survive and thrive. And that's not, you know, it was praised when I was younger. And at this point, I just like, it's a reminder of like the colonization, and not to get too deep with your speaker with everyone here about those things, but at the same time, I think it's important when we're talking about the politicization of a people. And then you know, you gotta look at all voices, regardless what they sound with a heavy accent, if you need a translator, because they might be more politically savvy than you are, you know. They really know what the struggle is like, because they've witnessed it. And a lot of times, because they're not always assimilated, guess what? They're witnessing more travesties on workplaces and in political spheres than you will. Then you had the eye to, because they figure those people won't speak. But you got to make the effort to hear them and to center their voices and figure out how to hear them more. And that's where a lot of people have been like, let me talk to you, because you bring in you bring in folks like that all the time. You call them in. Of course, I'm going to call them in because they're not here. And I can't tell you their stories because they're not here. And so we got to make sure that they're here. And that's the type of community building that I'm about, that I want to bring together people for. And especially for Hispanic Heritage Month, I want to give a shout out to Voces de la Frontera, who I know is like, y'all are like, again, you're in the struggle with those folks in this radio station. I know is about all that. And they're coming up with their gala now next weekend. So you can go to vdlf.org and find out more information about that. And if you want to find out information about me as well, you can look me up.
Voces de la Frontera, always solidarity. It's so important, again, to recognize that agency, identity, centering voices, and listening to understand are building blocks of community building, and really decentering ourselves is something to consider as well. Just a quick reminder that getting vaccinated is absolutely the best way to protect yourself, your family, and your community from COVID-19 and the raging Delta variant. Please get vaccinated. You can find more info at 100.wisconsin.gov. You can get a $100 gift card for getting vaccinated right now.
Get your $100, yo. Mm-hmm. Buy your mama something to eat. Instead of her always getting you something to eat, why don't you buy your mama something to eat with that vaccination money? What are you trying to do? Don't get sick, bro. Don't get sick anymore. Let's not get sick. Let's
be healthy, really speaking truth.
Oh, only because I have family right now, and you know, I praise them. I love them. I got family right now who are fighting COVID, who are in the hospital, and I know it's about me. So much shame. There's so much shame about not being vaccinated. It's okay. Go get your vaccination. It's not too late. Yeah. It's never too late, because as long as you're still breathing, it's not too late. So
not too late.
And that's what's happening right now. We got to be real empathetic. That's what the doctoras came and told me in my show. They're like, you got to be empathetic. I said, like, don't be angry. I want to get the chancla and hit them. I just want to get a chancla. I want to get a chancla. Sorry.
Oh, I'm a pro-vaxxer. Get vaxxed, y'all. 100.wisconsin.gov.
And if you need me to get the chancla, I might get a chancla and help get people vaccinated. Well, it's kind of simple. Just remain your own, or you'll be crazy, sad, and alone.